The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Shalach Lecho. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe l'emor. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Shlach lecho anoshim b'yasuru es eretz kenan asher ani neisein libnei Yisrael. Send out for yourselves men who will spy out the land of Canaan, eretz Yisrael, which I have given to the Bnei Yisrael. Ishechot, Ishechot, Lamate Avesov, Tishlochu, Kol, Nosivahem. One person from every Shevet. A leader from each Shevet. Vayishlach Osam Meshem in Bar Poron, Alpi Hashem. Moshe sent from the desert of Poron, according to Hashem, Kulam Anoshim, Rosh Vnei Yisrael Hema. They were all men of stature, and they were all the heads of the Bnei Yisrael, of the Shiftei Yisrael. This is taking place, the Chazal tell us. Klal Yisrael had come to the borders of Eretz Yisrael. They were in Midbar Poron, the desert of Poron. And this is taking place Erev Reish Chedesh Tammuz. The Torah continues that every Shevet was represented except Shevet Levi. And it lists all of the names which Moshe sent out. And Moshe told them where to go in Eretz Yisrael and what to see. Then it states, Vayalu, this is in Sheni, Posuchof Aleph, Vayalu v'yasur es oretz. They went, they spied out the land, in accordance to what Moshe told them, from one boundary to the other. And there they saw Achimon Sheshai v'Salma Yelidi Anok. They saw the great giants. There were seven ferocious nations there. There also were 31 kings. And they took from the fruits of the land in order to bring them back and show the people. By Yashuva Mitura Oretz, Miketz Arboim Yom. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. By Yilchu, by Yavou, El Meshe, El Aaron, El Koladas Ben Yisrael, El Midbar Poron, Kedesho. They came back. Vayoshivu vayoshivu isom dovor. It's called Eda Vayarum es prioritz. And they gave their report, and they showed the people the fruits of the land. Vayisapru lei vayemru. They told them, they said, Bonu el oris asher shelachtonu. We came to the land which you sent us. Vigam, zavas cholavut vashi, vize pirio. And it is a land which is flowing with milk and honey. And this is the fruits. The fruits were gigantic fruits. Ephes, but, however, ki azo oma yeshiboritz. The nations that live in the land are ferocious. Ve'orim betzures gedelis mi'od. Great fortified cities. Ve'gam yelide ha'anok ro'inu shom. And we also saw the giants of Anok. Amalek yeshiv be'eretz ha'negev. We saw Amalek. Klal Yisrael knew of Amalek because Amalek attacked them when they came out of Mitzrayim. And there in the south, Vachiti, Vaivusi, Vamori, Yeshiv, Bohor. And there are other nations on the mountains, Vaknani, Yeshiv, Valayom, Valayara, Yardin, and the Knanim are there. What they were saying is it's a wonderful land, but it's unconquerable. Won't be able to conquer it. will be annihilated there. Vayas Kolev Esom El Moshe, and Kolev silenced the nation. Vayom Kolev was one of those that was sent, and he silenced the nation. Vayema Olei Nale Vayarashna Isok Yochal Nuchalo. No, he says, let us go up to the land and let us take over, because we can. V'anoshim asher olu imei omru leinu chalal, I says, elohim, ki chosaku mimenu. And the people that went up said, no, it's impossible. You'll never be able to conquer this land. V'yotziu u dibas ha'oretz asher toru osa el b'nei Yisrael le'mor. And they slandered the land which they went to spy out. Oretz asher avanu bo lasur esa eretz echele sheishveh hohi. The land which we went through to spy out is a land which consumes its inhabitants. Why did they say it consumes its inhabitants? So the Chazal tell us, Rashi brings, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want them to be noticed. He didn't want them to have any confrontations. Therefore, he made it where there would be a lot of deaths during that time, and the people would be busy burying their dead. When they saw so many people are being buried, they said it must be a land which consumes its inhabitants. They didn't realize, they didn't have the insight to realize why this was happening. And they're all big, strong. We've seen the giants there. And in our eyes, we were like grasshoppers, and also in their eyes. And the whole Edo, the whole congregation, lifted up their voice, and they wept. That night they all wept. And they came and they started to protest against Moshe and Aaron. And they said, it would have been better that we died in the desert. What did Hashem bring us to this land for? In order that we should be slaughtered by the sword, and our wives and children will be spoils. It would be better that we go back to Egypt. And then they started a mutiny. Let us make a new head and return to Egypt. And the Chazal say also, when they said Nitnu Raish, who would be a better leader? They had in mind an Evedis Kechovim, like by the Egal Azov. We'll make an idol. Vayipol Meisha and Aaron saw they couldn't control the nation. Vayipol Meisha and Aaron al Peneim lifnei kol kaladas b'nei Yisrael. And they just fell from exasperation. Yeshua bin Nun bekole bin Yifuna min hatori mesodes kor bigdehem. Yeshua, who was one amongst the 12 spies, and Kolev, they rent their garments. Vayomru al kol adas b'nei Yisrael lemor. Ha'oretz asher ravanu bo lasur esel tova oretz me'od me'od. And they said no. They said that the land which we went out and we saw is a very, very good land. Im chovetz bona Hashem, be'vi osan el tzadon manu. Kodesh Baruch Hu can bring us there. He will bring us there. It is a land full of milk and honey. But Ach Hashem al timredu. Do not rebel against Hashem. He says, just don't worry about the people that are there. We don't have to worry about them. Vayomer kol ha'edo lirgem eisom ba'avonim. And the Edo said, let us stone them, because they want to lead us into disaster. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came finally to mediate. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Adonu Yinam Suni Omazev, for how long will this nation challenge me? And for how long will it be that they do not believe in me? They do not rely on me. After all of the miracles which I have done in their midst. Let me destroy the nation, and I'll make from you, from Moshe, a new nation. And then Moshe pleads with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you can't do that. And he gives him the reasons why. It won't be good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, because what will the Goyim say and what will Mitzrayim say? You took out this nation in order to kill them in the desert. And Moshe's mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all right, Salachti kidvarecho. But I take a shvua that all of this, of these people that came out of Mitzrayim into the desert, and they have challenged me 10 times. The Chazal tell us that they challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu 10 times after going out of Egypt, and this was the 10th. I swear that they will never see the land which I have sworn to their forefathers. Kolev, he had a different ruach acheresima. He had a different spirit. I will bring him to the land, and his seed will inherit it. And then it continues. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, tell them that I take a shvur, an oath, that in this desert, anyone who is 20 years old or older will die in this desert before we go into Egypt. Before we go into Eretz Yisrael. Why 20 years or older? Because those who are under 20, I will not hold responsible. Because under 20, they're not liable for Einis Shemayim, for punishment from heaven. So I will not hold those responsible. But anyone who is 20 or over, I will punish, and they will die in the desert, which I have, and they will not see the land, except Kolev ben Yefune and Yeshua ben Nun. And the children that they were worrying about that will end up to be spoils by the nation, they will go into the land. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I will let them wander for 40 years in order that no one died under 60. So anyone who was 20 at that time would be dead before the nation would go into Eretz Yisrael. And the 40-year states also that correlates with the 40 days that they went and spied out the lands. Zos Eser, this is what I will do. And then the other spies, they were killed immediately. By Yomusa Anoshim Meitzia Dibas Oret Sarah, those that slandered the land, they died immediately in Amagefa. And Yeshua and Kolev will inherit their land. This is concisely the story. It's important to know that this, in the history of Klal Yisrael, is a critical story. Very, very important. And there's a great deal that we can learn from this story. And we'll mention a number of them this evening. A number of these principles that we can learn from we've mentioned in the past, but it's good to hear them again. And some of them we might not have mentioned. But there's a great deal of chokhmah, of wisdom and musar, and background from Chazal. When did this take place? We said it was Erev Rish Chodesh Tammuz. They spied out the land for 40 days. So when did they return? 40 days after Rish Chodesh Tammuz is Tisha B'Av. They returned on Tes B'Av, the 9th of Av. When was this? In the context of their going out of Egypt. The Chazal tell us that this was in the early years. Because from here on, the Torah is going to speak about the 40 years in the desert. Excuse me. They left Egypt on the 15th of Nisan. They came, it states in the Chodesh HaShlishi, the third month, to Midbar Sinai, near Har Sinai. This means they traveled from Egypt during Nisan, 2 weeks in Nisan, 4 weeks in Iyar. And then the beginning of Sivan is when they came to Har Sinai. These were the 49 days of Sfira. To the 6th of Sivan, when the Torah was given, which was the 50th day. They remained by Har Sinai for almost a full year, less 10 days. And this was to celebrate the Simchas HaTorah, and it's brought like a chosen and a kala, shonet mimotia imai, that for a full year he celebrates with his kala. So they remained near Har Sinai till the following year. A full year would have been Reish Chodesh Sivan. They remained 10 days less, which was the 20th of Iyar. On the 20th of Iyar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, you now have the Torah. You now celebrated the receiving of the Torah. Now I have to fulfill my pledge to you, which I made in Parshas Va'era. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell the people, this was when he sent him to Egypt. And these are the Dada L'Sheni Shagula, the four statements of redemption. Lachain, this is in Shmais Vov, Posuk Vov. Lachain emo l'bnei Yisrael, ani Hashem. Tell the B'nai Yisrael, I am Hashem, ve'itzeisi eschem mitach asiv leis Mitzrayim, I will take you out from beneath the yoke of Egypt, ve'itzalti eschem avodosom, I will save you from your servitude. We go out here and the two Yevishvotim Gedolim. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to be my nation. Now that has been fulfilled. They were taken out and they were given the Torah. There was one other pledge which follows. I will bring you to the land which I have raised my hand, I have sworn to give to Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And I will give this to you as an inheritance, Ani Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu now had to fulfill the pledge to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. And he wanted to do that immediately. Therefore, immediately he said, you have the Torah, you celebrated the Simchas HaTorah, now it's time to go to Eretz Yisrael. And it would have been a 3-day journey. This is what it states in the Torah. Moshe told Yisro in Parshas Baalei Secha, we are now going to Eretz Yisrael, and Gimel Shleish Yomim. 3 days it'll take us. And even though that 3 day journey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it possible where they could do it in 1 day. Because this is how dearly he wanted them to get into Eretz Yisrael. This means that immediately after the celebration of the Torah, in 1 day they would have been in Eretz Yisrael. But one thing after another happened. The Mishaynanim, this is in the Parshas Baalei Sechah, the second half. The Mishaynanim, the complainers, then they wanted the meat, they got tired of the mon, and then there was the Lashon Hara from Miriam, and each caused another delay. But still, it was not a long delay. After all of these short interruptions, they came to meet by Purim, the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. We said, Erev Resh Chedish Tamos, which was about 40 days later, because they left 10 days in Iyar, were left, and then the month of Sivan, 30 days in Sivan, and then Erev Resh Chedish Tamos, was passed, approximately 40 days. So with all of that, they would have been in Eretz Yisrael in 40 days. What happened? And this is all spelled out in great detail in the Gemara and Masechta Tainis Daf Chof Tes. What happened? The Chazal tells us, Yesh derech shehi k'tzora v'arucha, v'yesh derech she'arucha v'k'tzora. Sometimes there's a short road which takes a long time, and sometimes there's a long road which takes a short time. Instead of taking the short road, they decided to take a long road. In other words, the one that takes a long time. This that would have taken them 1 day. It was a 3 day trip that would have taken them 1 day. And even after all of these interruptions, it would have taken them 40 days. It took 40 years. And that was because of this story. And not only did it take 40 years, but to that generation, to all of those who were involved in the Meraglim, it took forever, because they never went into Eretz Yisrael. It was their children that went in. All of those who were involved, Yeshua wasn't involved, and Kolev wasn't involved, Mesh and Aaron were not. The Chazal tell us all of the women were not involved. The Chazal tell us all of the women were not involved. You see, so there was a great amount that were not involved. As far as Shevet Levi, there seems to be a question. We'll have to leave that for another discussion, another time, if Shevet Levi was involved or not. We see they didn't have, a spy was not sent from their Shevet, from their tribe. But if they accepted this slander, this Lashon Hara or not, this is questionable. So, first thing that came from here was that even those that went in, it took them 40 years to get in. Secondly, what happened is the others never went in. But something also happened. It states that on that night that they wept, like what we read from the Psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, why are you weeping? I told you, I raised my hand, I swore to you that I'm going to give you this land. I promised it. I swore it to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Don't you have trust in me? Maybe you think I'm not capable of wiping out those nations after all of the miracles and after all of the makais and all of the Kriyas Yamsuf and everything else that I did to Egypt. Or afterwards Amalek came, that I did to Amalek. You still don't think I'm capable? You still have no trust in me? Why are you weeping? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shel chinom. You are weeping for no reason. Kovei ani aleichem b'chiyah ledoros. I will make at this time, this will be a time of weeping, of real weeping for generations. And at that night was Nikba. That night was established Tisha B'Av. It was the 9th of Av. But what would happen on Tisha B'Av? Because the 40 days that left the Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, 40 days from Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz comes out on Tisha B'Av. And at that night was Nigzar, was decreed that there would be a Churban Bayis Rishain, destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, Churban Bayis Sheni, a destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, and all of the Golus that we're in. Because the reason why we're in Golus was because of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And all of the pogroms and the persecutions and the Holocaust that happened to Klal Yisrael, that all is Nimshach, all stems from there. And the Maral goes into it deeper. He said that had they gone in immediately, like was destined, again, 3 days, they would have taken them 1 day. This was all part of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, there is a custom at the Seder. I don't know. I never saw anybody do this. And I once asked the Rav Eichenstein, the St. Louis Rav, if he ever saw, and he says, no. But there is a very legitimate custom at the Seder, not to have 4 cups of wine, but 5 cups of wine. And the 5th cup is after, at the end, and afterwards, the Hodus Lashem, the Halal Hagodol it's called, all the Hodus are said on it. And that's brought. It has its sources. It definitely has its sources. But why? Because there were 4 statements of Geul of redemption, but there was a 5th statement. In 4 ways where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll take you out of Egypt. The 5th statement is, I'll bring you into Eretz Yisrael. Because it wasn't sufficient just to take us out. So, the original plan was, this was all part of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the going out of Egypt. Not just to take you out, leave you in the desert. And the Maral says that just like the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt was irreversible, so was the going into Eretz Yisrael irreversible. But that didn't happen. Because of this Hefzik, and it was another generation, then it wasn't one with one sweep. And that's why it became reversible. And even more, had we gone into Eretz Yisrael at that time, who would have brought us into Eretz Yisrael? It would have been Moshe. That's why Moshe, in Parshas Devarim, blames them for his own problem. Because Moshe's chate was hitting of the rock that came later. And had they gone in immediately, there would have never been later. And just like Moshe's taking Klal Yisrael out of Egypt was irreversible, going into Eretz Yisrael by Moshe Rabbeinu would have been at a different level, a different madrigal. So all of this happened, and this is all what goes into that I will be Keveh, I will set aside this date forever for Tisha B'Av because of what you have made. Excuse me. Is that Hitan? It's very dry. Now, one of the psukim that we read was the pasuk in Perek Yudalet Pasuk Chof Beis. Ki kol anoshim areim es kfeidi vesei seisei, asher asisi v'mitzrayim v'amidbor v'yanasu Osis ze eser pomim leshomo bekeli. All of the people that saw my great honor and all of my miracles which I did to Egypt and in the desert, and they have challenged me now, this time, 10 times, and they didn't listen to my voice. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because of that, I will destroy all of them. The Mishnah Masechta Erechin, on Daf Tes Vov, says that what happened here, this challenge, this protest, this rebellion, was greater than all of the other 9 rebellions that they challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu since coming out of Egypt, as it states. And it was because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally said enough and destroyed them. The Gemara asks, what does it mean because of this? Was it collective? In other words, I've had enough? Gemara says no. Maybe it was because Nismala Asoa? No. It says Ze. Bayanasu I see Ze Eser Bomim. That word Ze is superfluous. It shouldn't be there. It should be Vianasu I see Eser Bomim. They have challenged me, they have protested, they have rebelled against me 10 times. Enough. Doesn't say that. It says this time 10 times. To teach us that it wasn't collective. It was this alone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not tolerate. Okay. What was the chet here? There were many chatoim. Let's examine it. First of all, there was the lack of emunah b'Hashem. They didn't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says himself, Ad Onu, Ad Onu, for how long will they not believe in me? They didn't trust in him. Secondly, they were married b'malchus. They rebelled against Moshe. They wouldn't refuse to listen to Moshe. And not only that, they said, let's appoint a new head and go back. That itself was an enormous chet. Thirdly, they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like Moshe said, Al timreidu to Hashem, don't rebel against Hashem. So there was rebellion against Hashem. Fourthly, the Chazal tell us, this is in the Gemara Masechta Seita Daf Lamed Hei, that they were kefir b'ikar. When they said that Chozok hu mimenu, we quoted that pasuk, that's Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Lamed Aleph. The land is too strong, the people are too strong for us. Mimenu can mean two things, for us and for him. The Gemara says they meant for him. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't wipe out those nations. He wouldn't be able to. So they were kefir b'ikar. They were further, they were chayte umachti asarabim. From the greatest chatoim is to cause others to sin. They went and they influenced the whole nation against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that they were full of chatoim here. Serious chatoim. But the Sugya Nerechin tells us a great chidush. It says, on all of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been mevater. He would have closed his eyes to. The reason why he decided that this is enough, and he's going to wipe out the Meraglim immediately, and the others, through the course of 40 years, because they were Meitzi Dibas Oretz, they slandered. Aloshen Hora. Moses says, how do you know? Maybe it was because of all the other reasons. So the Mora brings this posuk. Posuk, Lamed Zayin, Yudal Lamed Zayin, Bayamusu Anoshim, Motzi'ei Dibas Ha'aretz Ro. The men were killed. They died, the ones who spread slander on the land. B'magefa lifnei Hashem. Why does it say slander? Why doesn't it say because they rebelled? Because they were machti, they caused others to sin? Because they wanted to overthrow Moshe? Or everything else? Only singles this out. Lamanu, so the Sugya says in Erechin, Sha'al Meitzi Diba So'oretz, because they slandered. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed them. Tova Hasi, come and see how great an Avera and how hated the Avera of Loshon Hara is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe we'll say, it's not so much because of Loshon Hara, it's because you spoke against Eretz Yisrael. One is not allowed to speak against Eretz Yisrael. But it's not because of Loshon Hara. The Gemara says just the opposite. Gemara says, from here we see that if someone is Meitzi Diba al Eitzim Ba'avonim, they were slandered stone. They slandered wood. Al Chaveira Yalachas Kava V'Kama. So therefore, if you slander your friend, how much more so? So you see from the Gemara just to the contrary. That even though the slander was only against an inanimate object, still we see what the hate was. So if you actually degrade a person, or you actually destroy his reputation, how much more so? This is what the Gemara brings. What do we see from here? And this is Neira Oyam. They were guilty of so many Averus. They came back and they lost their total emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then they convinced the whole nation not to go into Eretz Yisrael. And then they said, let's set up a new leader and we'll go back to Egypt. And the Chazal Darshans, if we can't find a leader who flesh and blood, will make an idol like we did the Golden Calf. And then they rebelled. They even with Kefa B'Ikur, they said even HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot annihilate those people. All of this, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to forgive him on that. But on the Loshon Hara, not. And the Gemara says this was only Loshon Hara on Eitzim Vavonim, on sticks and stones. Al Chaveira Yalachas Kava V'Kama. And on all of the other nine tests, nine times that they challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was prepared to Mimavatev, to forgive them. But on this and this alone, not. This is what the Pasuk means. By Yelino Alav is called Eda Lahitzi Diba Lo Oretz. By Yamusa Anoshim Maitzia Diba Soretz Roa B'Magefa Lifnei Hashem. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed them, those who slandered the land. There's a lot of great principles that one can learn from here. Now, if we go further into this whole episode, we see that this didn't come by itself, though. That was the ultimate. There were many, many things that brought them to this. And what were they? Firstly, they lacked trust in Hashem, like we mentioned. The Medrash Rabba brings here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani omarti lehem shitova. I told you it's a good land. When they came to begin with, and they told Moshe that we want to go see the land, what did they want to go see the land for? It is true that in Sefer Yeshua, we find that Yeshua sent in spies to spy out the land, and that was considered a mitzvah. That was different. They didn't say, we want to see the land to see if we can conquer it, to see if we should go into the land. There they were prepared to go into the land. But they went, let's go see which way is the best way to go into the land. And that you're obligated to do. Because Ein Seichel and Anes were not allowed to rely on miracles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a seichel for that. So it wasn't a question if we should go or not. The question is the strategy of the warfare. Over here was different. They said, before we go, we want to see what we're getting into. Maybe we shouldn't get into it. You see, maybe it's too difficult. This was their motivation. So they had lost Emunah right there. And the Medrash says it's like a king says to a servant, I have chosen a prized piece of land for you. And this is the best one for you. And the servant comes and says, let me see it first, to see if it's a good piece of land. Right? What kind of arrogance, what kind of chutzpah is that? Then, we see it also. They, it states that when they went in to begin with, they already had this motive. They already had this agenda. The people were losing trust. It wasn't, they didn't go in objectively. They had this agenda already that the land very likely will be too difficult to conquer. Because of that, you can't come out with the truth. If you want to examine something and you want to come out with the truth, you have to go into it without any particular motives. The motive has to be only to find the truth and no particular agendas. This is what it states, that a dai and a judge is not allowed to take sheichad, accept any favors or bribes. Ki ha-sheichad ya'aver es ha-sheichad ya'aver es einei chachomim. One place it says einei chachomim, the sheichad will distort the vision of the wise. Another place it says einei pikchim, the wisdom of the clever, the eyes of the clever. And this is what happened here. Because it was a beautiful land. It was the most beautiful land in the world. And they saw that. But everything, they looked for an alila. They distorted everything in order that it should support their case. Kodesh Baruch Hu showed them the most beautiful fruit in the world. And they brought back and they said, look, where do you find such fruit like this, so big? This is a sign that the fruit is so big, so are the people so big. There are giants living there. We will not be able to conquer them. Or for example, like we mentioned, the Kodesh Baruch Hu made everyone busy burying their dead. And from there, they were ma'avis. They distorted. And they said, it's an eretz eichel eshveo. It's an eretz, a land which consumes its dead. A land which consumes its inhabitants. Further we see, this is very important, that the Chazal bring, and the Meforshim bring, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu let them go in? Moshe went, they came to Moshe, and they said, look, we want to see what we're getting into. Moshe went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he asked them, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu stop them? He says, no, don't send them. Don't let them go. No good will come from it. Many times a son will ask a father something. He wants to do this. He wants to take the car. And he wants to drive who knows where. And the father, in his foresight, sees that nothing good will come from it. So what does he do? He forbids it. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu forbid it? Had he done this, he would have saved everything we spoke about. They can't send anyone in. We're going immediately. They would have been in Eretz Yisrael and finished. It's a very good question. And that the Chazal answer, and this is very, very important. It states, Habol letaher, Mesai Neisai. Habol letamei, Peski Neisai. If someone comes with a good motive to do good, Not only will HaKadosh Baruch Hu not stand in his way, he'll help him. He'll help him. But if, like a father, son comes and wants to do something good, father will say, look, I'll give you money to help your project. But, habol letamei, if a person comes with a bad agenda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like a father. He won't stop him. Peskin, he won't help him. But Peskin, He'll leave the door open for him. Why? Why doesn't he stop him? This is the Yisod of Bechira. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's your world. I've given the world to Bnei Adam. And you have free choice, total free choice when it comes to Teva Ra. And I cannot interfere. There's no way I can interfere. Had a Kadosh Baruch Hu interfered, total history would have been changed. There would have been no 40 days, no 40 years, no Churban Bayis Rishon, no Churban Bayis Sheni, no Golus, no Holocaust, nothing. He says, I can't. I've given the world to Bnei Adam. When it comes to Tovara, I cannot interfere. I will not push you to do evil, but basically. Therefore, Shlach Lecho. They want, leave them do what they want. This is a very, very great principle. Further, the Medrash tells us why Rashi brings it at the beginning of the Sedra. Why does in the Torah it writes the story of Miriam right before the story of the Meraglim? And the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu emphasized this. He says, I don't want anyone telling me that I've punished a whole generation for Lashon Hara, and they'll come with the taina. They'll come a larger complaint. We didn't know that there's anything wrong with Lashon Hara, and we didn't know that you act that strictly on it. Therefore, I showed everyone very clearly. Miriam, she said Lashon Hara on Moshe, and she was miskaven leteva, she meant well. This was her brother that she brought up, and she saved his life, and she risked her own life for, and she loved. And still look what happened to her. So it states, don't say you didn't know. The Lashon of the Medrash is, Rishoyim halolu shomu veleilochu musar. They heard and they saw, and they didn't learn from it. So what do we see from here? We see from here how much we are obligated to learn and to listen and to see from everything that goes around us, that goes on around us. Many people feel that we don't have to act intelligently. It's Mashiach. It's Mishamai. There can't be a greater lie than that. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the person, I blessed you with ears, I blessed you with eyes, and I gave you an intelligence that makes you almost as great as angels. The intelligence that he gave man was not given to any other creation. I've equipped you with everything. Use it. You don't use it, that's going to be your problem, not my problem. The Rambam brings in Hilchos in Sefer in Hilchos Deos. He says a person has to be masada, he has to organize his whole life with the utmost intelligence. Then he can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Hatzlocha. Then he can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Brocha and Hatzlocha, that he should be succeed. And he quotes from David HaMelech that states that David HaMelech did everything with Seichel, he was a king. He ruled with the greatest effort to do things right and proper in accordance to human intelligence. And then it states, Hashem Imoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. But if a person is going to act like a fool, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be with him. This is what the Rambam brings. So here we see. A person here cannot say, look, I don't have to do all of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead me in the right way. No. If you do all of this, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead you in the right way. Now, what we've seen from all of this is what is known as responsibility and accountability. And we see how far it goes. Unfortunately, this is something that we don't understand enough. People are held responsible and accountable for all of their acts. And if they want brocha and atzlocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first they have to act responsibly. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with them. Here we see just the opposite. And the whole generation, all of history, was held accountable for it. There was another, the Chazal bring out another cause that brought to this. There were so many causes we see. There were so many places where they slipped up. They should have, they saw what happened to Miriam, they closed their eyes to it, they should have opened their eyes. They saw all the miracles HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. They closed their eyes to it. They should have added up 2 and 2 makes 4. They saw all the good things in Eretz Yisrael, what a wonderful land it was. Now, they allowed their own emotions to distort it and to corrupt it, and so on and so on. There was something else also very subtle the Medrash brings out, and this, it seems, it's pointing a finger to Moshe and Aaron, at Moshe and Aaron. Medrash brings a posuk for Mishle. Mishle Chov Vov Vov. This is a Medrash Rabbah here in Tessain Os Beis. The Pasuk in Mishle states, Shlema Melech said, Mikatzer raglayim chomos sheise sholeach dvorim biyad ksil. What does this mean? Mikatzer raglayim. He will wear out the feet, and chomos sheise, and he will drink shekevero, lies and evil. Who shaleach dvorim biyad ksil? He who sends a ksil, a fool, on a mission that he needs for himself. Kol kach lomo al shohoyo shluchov tipshin. Why did this happen? All of this happened because the wrong people went. The Medrash says, why did all of this happen? It happened because the 12 people that went. What would have happened if those 12 people would have been great tzaddikim, great righteous people? Then it would have been a different story. They wouldn't have come back with such a, they wouldn't have gone with such an agenda, they wouldn't have come back with such a story. They wouldn't have rebelled and so on. It's a little difficult to understand this Medrash. And I see the Meforshim go into it because the 12 that Moshe and Aaron had chosen were Nesiyei Yisrael. Roshe, Kula Roshe Abayson. Kula Mekshedim. States were great men of stature. He didn't send anyone. But evidently he didn't choose carefully enough. Now, it's a great limud of Musa here. People always, many times, we have a job to do ourselves. And we said, it's easier, I'll send someone to do it for me. Depends what it is. If it's something which doesn't need too much responsibility, okay. But what happens if a lot weighs on it? Great deal weighs on it. Got to be very careful. Maybe you should do it yourself. If not yourself, you got to make sure who you're sending. And this is what Shlema Melech says. You see, you don't want to do it yourself because you don't want to wear down your feet. Let someone else do the legwork. Shlomo HaMelech says, Mekatze raglaim choma sheisa shaleach dvorim biyad ksil. When you send on a mission, which is very important, a ksil, someone who's a fool, who's not up to the task, you think you're saving shoe leather. You're going to be mekatze raglaim. You're going to wear out feet, trying to redo what he has made a churban from. And choma sheise, and you think you're going to get something done, you're going to end up drinking lies and all types of evil. You have something important to do. Do it yourself. Or send someone who's very capable of it. Actually, when Chief Rabbi Lowy, Chief Rabbi of Israel at that time, came to visit, it was Parshas Vayishlach. And there, in Parshas Vayishlach, that's when Yaakov Avinu is returning for many, many years the house of Laban, and he is confronting again his brother Esav. So it states, Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefonav El Esav Ochiv. He sent Malochim to meet Esav. Now Malochim can mean, generally, means a shliach. He sent an emissary. But Rashi brings from the Medrash Malochim Mamash. Here it means Malochim Mamash, he sent the angels. So he was saying, why here should it mean angels? He says, when you send to make peace, and there's nothing greater than shalom, Chazal had a kasha, you go yourself. You don't send someone else. You want to make a peace treaty, you go yourself. Don't send someone else. Well, Yaakov sent angels. That's a different story. This is similar to what we're saying, what the Medrash says. You see also here, you see that things don't happen by themselves. There's the cause, and there's an ultimate cause to the cause, and there's another cause to the cause. Even after Moshe conceded to their demands, to send, maybe he could have been more careful as to who he sent. Had he, history would have been changed. That's what the Medrash brings. One final point here. And here also we see, from one aspect we're seeing the Genai. We're seeing the lowliness, or the liabilities of the Meraglim, of the Klal Yisrael, and so forth. But there's another aspect, that we see the greatness of Kolev and Yeshua. There's a great deal to speak on that, but we'll just make one mention, one word, and that is in Parshas Devarim, at the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Perek Aleph, Posuk Lamed Vov. It says, Moshe here is saying over the story what took place. He says how you came to me and you demanded to send out spies and you didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I sent and so on and so on. What happened? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that this whole nation would never go into Eretz Yisrael. Zulasi says, "Im yeri ish banoshim eila adorar aroa zei sohoret zatova shenishbati lo seis labaseichem." He swore, "If one man of this evil generation will come to see this wonderful land which I have sworn to your father, Zulasi, except Kolev ben Yefune, hu yireno. Kolev will see it. V'lei etein es ha'oretz. And to him I will give the land asher dorach bo ulavonov, which he walked over, and to his sons. Yan asher milei acherei Hashem, because he came after me. He followed me." is a kasha there. Why Kalev? What about Yeshua? Both of them states Kalev. Now, it's actually Kalev received a different reward than Yeshua. It states, I will give him the land which he walked over. In the Torah it states that when they went to Hebron, it uses a Loshen singular term, Kalev went to Hebron. Kalev went to Moresh Machpelah, to the graves of the Ovis, to be Mishtateach, to be Mispalo, that they should give him the keach, the power, to withstand the others. Hebron was given as a gift to Kalev and his sons. This is what it means, le'etenes oretz asher dorach bo olavonav. But still, why does it single out Kalev? Yan Hashem mile acherei Hashem, he followed me. So the Medrash says, this is a Medrash by us, right, in the beginning of the Sedra, Tesayin Os Beis. The Medrash says that Kalev did something even more than Yeshua. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Zulasi, Kalev came to my aid. Where was this? So it brings a posuk from Tilim. A posuk from Tilim in Ein Vav, posuk Vav, states, Veshtolelu abirei lev, nomu shenosom. Eshtolelu means foolish, shaitim. Abirei lev alachachomim. The wise and the strong-hearted became foolish and shaitim without das. Nomu shenosom, and they went to sleep. And all of the strong people could not find their hands. What is this referring to? Elu Meshe V'Aaron. This refers to Meshe V'Aaron. Shishoch HaMaraglim. They sent out the scouts. Ubo V'Omru Loshenor Al Oretz. They came back and they said Loshenor against Eretz Yisrael. V'Loho Yedin Mal Asais. And they... Moshe and Aaron and everyone stood doing nothing. People came back and they started to say Loshon Hara, and it was like a fire. Fire, you got to be very careful. You have to contain it. It was spreading. The nation started to hear them. And they saw that they have a serious problem. They have a rebellion on their hands. And they stood speechless. Why did they stand speechless? Because they didn't know what to do. They became weakened and they didn't know how to react. It states in Posuk, Lamed, in Perek Yud Gimel Posuk Lamed, after they gave their original report, it states, Vayas Kalev Asom Al Moshe. Kalev silenced the nation to Moshe. And then he started to say, Olam Nale, we can go up, Yarash Nase, we can conquer the land. What does it mean he silenced the people? Miyad Omad Kalev, it was Kalev, not Yeshua. Because Yeshua also didn't know what to do. Kalev stood up. V'shisa kolei se'uklasin. And all of these numbers of people, multitudes of people, he silenced. As it states, V'yaz kolev es'om. Omar le'al asafsel, he got up on the bench. V'yamashtikin. And he silenced them. V'aymanim has. Sheiskin lishmaya mimenu. First he silenced them. Rashi brings how he silenced them. But he got them all to... calm down, because they had almost a riot on their hands, to come down. Then he said, Omale tova oretz mi'od mi'od. The land is very, very good. He was the only one. Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Moshe. So Hashem said to Moshe, Teve g'deila ani machzik lo'i. I owe him a great favor. Shenema zulasi kolev. Mazulasi leze iti. He was the only one who stood by me. He was the only one who supported me. Everybody was silenced. Yosem isamech rabo mikem. Among 600,000, he was the only one. Even more than Moshe and Aaron. Atem leimatzosem yedeichem elakishaltem. Nobody else was able to, they were stunned, they didn't do anything. This is what David HaMelech writes in Tehillim. Eshtolalu abirei lev. The wise and strong-hearted became shotim. They became without das, without knowing anything. Nomu shenosom. They were sleeping. V'lemotzu kol anshei chayil yedehem. And they couldn't find their hands to do anything except kolev. Kolev was the one. Now, what do we see from here? We see the strength of Kolev and Yefuna, and even more than Yeshua in this case. That's why in Parshas Devarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kolev was the one who followed me, who was loyal to me. There's one further insight into this. It states, and Pasuk Aleph, Yudalet Aleph. Look at this carefully. Vatiso kolo edo vayitnu es kolam. The entire congregation raised their voices and they wept. Why does it say kol ho edo? The entire congregation. It wasn't the entire congregation. There was Kolev, there was Yeshua, there was Moshe, there was Aaron, there were all the women, maybe Levi. Why kol ho edo? So Rashi brings the Drosh's Chazal. No, it doesn't refer to the nation. It refers to the Sanhedrin. Kol ha'edo the Sanhedrin. All of the Sanhedrins, all of the courts, all of the judges. The Edo is a state, is a phrase that's used. Enei ha'edo for the judges. Now imagine what kind of opposition there was. This wasn't a riot, a protest, or a rebellion that was stemming from the mob, from the grassroots, that was coming from the top, all of the judges, all of the courts. And still Kolev stood up. See, again afterwards it states, Yeshua ben Nun ve Kolev ben Yuna, they were korbin dechem, they tried to stop it. So all of the courts, all of the judges were against them. And still they stood up. See, here we see the strength of these two individuals, and especially Kolev and Yefuna. Now what do we learn from there? Here we learn another very important principle. Very important principle. And that is, it is common response. There was what is known as popular opinion. Mainstream opinion. If this is popular opinion, it must be right. If this is mainstream opinion, it must be right. This is nonsense. You see consistently in the Torah, not like that. If you want to go after mainstream opinion, then Kolev and Yeshua, there couldn't have been a greater minority. The nation was against them. The judges were against them. The courts were against them. And this is consistently. I always say that if you want to go after mainstream opinion, popular opinion, then you must become a Catholic. A billion Catholics in the world. Or a Muslim. They say today there are more Muslims than Catholics. It's mainstream. Jews were never mainstream. They were always, Atem Hamat Minam. They were always counter the mainstream. But here was even amongst Jews. We see the same thing by the Egel Azov, the golden calf. The whole nation went after the golden calf. Why did everybody go? Because everybody else was doing it, so therefore it must be right. They weren't idiots. This was based on high-level thought. You're talking about Jews. Okay, you had all the judges. They weren't idiots. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to come to Moshe. Moshe stood up against him alone. Why is Moshe standing up there against alone? And then he had to say, Mi Lashem Elai. He says, forget about the mainstream. Forget about all the people. Forget about, and there were tremendous, there was professors with intellectuals, with academics, with money, everything there. There were Jews. And Moshe said, Mi Hashem Elai. Forget about all of that. I want to know who will be loyal to me, to Hashem. Vayosfa Elov Kol B'nei Levi. And the minority, Levi, went to Moshe. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them forever to be his loyal servants. Here the same thing. Here the whole nation was against it. The courts were against it. The judges were against it. Everyone that mattered were against it. And they said no. And then you have other layers of people getting swept along in the currents. Or in the mob pressure. But Kolev alone. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he alone supported me. When everybody was silent, how can you talk against so many people? Must be their right. You can't be the odd man out. He alone stood up. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Parshas Devarim. He said, Zulasi. So let's see the Gemara Darshan's Li. There was only one man for me. Kole ben Yefune. Hu Yereno. He will see the land. V'lei etenes oretz. Asher dorach ba olavonov. And to him I will give the land which he treaded. And to his sons. Yan asher mile acharei Hashem. Because when the whole mainstream and popular opinion was going away from me, he followed me. So don't be influenced, don't be swayed, don't be intimidated by what is known as popular opinion or majority opinion or mainstream opinion. You have to be intimidated and swayed by the emes, what is true. That's the basis, if it's true or not, if it's accurate, if it's Teres Hashem or not Teres Hashem. These are some very crucial and important points that we learned from this Sidra, which unfortunately was a very, very critical historical turning point in the history of Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.